Welcome to the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Today we'll be starting a new series in Sunday school, and it's called The Great Harvest. Let's say The Great Harvest.
The Great Harvest.
All of us are not talking. Let's say The Great Harvest. You know, normally when we see harvest, one of the thoughts that comes, you know, when you hear ikore, let's say ikore, Yoruba will say ikore. You know, when you hear ikore, many times when you hear it, the default blessing or the default definition is blessing. You know, God will bless me, I would have harvest, you know, I would, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You know, there will be blessing and, you know, all my toiling, all my work, there's going to be harvest of it. You know, I'll reap what I've sowed. You know, sometimes you see churches do harvest service sort of. And then, you know, people, now that's fine. But, you know, many times those harvests have to do with us. You know, those harvests have to do with our own gain. You know, but there is a particular harvest that has to do with the gain of God. You know, it is God that is harvesting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand? So the gain of the harvest is God's gain, not any man's gain. Not for any pastor, not for any Christian, not for any church, not for any denomination. It is God's harvest. Hallelujah. And that's what this series is about. It's not just about the New and Living Way Church or the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu. It's about the harvest of God. Hallelujah. And we know, we trust God that, you know, the Lord will help us as we go into this, you know, this series in Jesus' name. All right. So the topic for today is a call of God that's responding to the burden and call of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are responding to the burden and a call of the Lord. Let's open Matthew 28. We just read Matthew 28:18-20. All right, so I hope you're all there. Let's open our Bibles, at least till our projector comes up. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew 28:18. I want us to read this together. That's why I'm waiting for us to open our Bibles. Are we all there? Yeah, let's read. 1, 2, ready, go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to read together. Let's read. You know the way you sit you there when they recite things. Let's read. We are reading Bible now. Hallelujah. 1, 2, ready, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's say a bigger amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll look into that verse, but let's go into our lesson, you know, before we talk about it. So glory to God. The Lord is leading us as a local assembly through our Father, Daddy Emeka Eguchukwu, and Pastor Laide Olaniyo, our fathers, you know, into a new series in our Sunday school. Now, this new series came by series of spiritual experiences, encounters, and specific instructions given to the servants of God concerning our collective posture concerning the coming harvest. Hallelujah. Now, if we can remember, during crossover service, you know, we watched a video of our daddy Emeka Eguchukwu, where, you know, while he was outside of the country, you know, that time, and daddy talked about harvest. You know, that when daddy talked about, you know, how stars, you know, being a star, and then also how stars initiate harvest, as it were. Now, you see that thing, You know, I'm sure many of us have forgotten. Abi, we've not forgotten. Are you sure you've not forgotten? Daddy talked about it. Eh? Talk now. Just be sincere. It's fine. Do you get? So now, you know, many times, you know those kind of things when the set man gives, you know, talks about, you know, something in church or crossover service, you know, many times at the end of the service, many churches, they will recite it. You know, maybe we would have just been reciting and we will become a star. And then the Lord will send us to reap harvest. And if we are reciting something like that, maybe we just, you know, I think Yoruba will call it a commoner. What's the English of a commoner, please? Eh? Watchword, yes, you know. That, you know, we'll just be saying that that's the vision of the Lord for us in our local assembly, you know, now it's not bad. I'm not saying, you know, that's not get my point. But I'm just saying that maybe if we had done that, maybe some of us would have remembered. But it's good that, you know, this series is also coming, not just for you to remember, or for us to remember, but for us to understand what God is doing. That's why it is coming as a teaching and not just as watchword in quotes. Hallelujah. You know, because we need to we need to go with knowledge. You know, when we are doing things, we need to have understanding of what God is doing. It's not just that, this is what we are doing in our church now. Oh, yeah, good, good, good. And we just go. No, we need to have understanding rooted in scriptures to know that this is what God is doing and this is why this is happening. Hallelujah. Are we together? Because everything that directions, you know, that clarity that our pastors and our parents get, they are all gotten from the Word. Hallelujah. They are gotten from where? From the Word. They don't just wake up in the morning and be like, what's the next thing we need to do now? No. It's from the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's why this teaching is coming, for us to see, you know, when we are talking about harvest, for us to see how harvest pertains to us, you know, as believers in the Word of righteousness. Hallelujah. All right. So why study along the lines of the great harvest? Now, the reason for this series that we are starting today is to position us aright as a church, align our hearts individually and as a church, you know, and empower us to do all that God would require of us as a local assembly as pertaining to the harvest. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand that, you know, we read Matthew 28 now, and we must understand that the intent of God is that a believer, no, scripture says that in Acts, that and they were added to church daily, such as to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, not minding the background that they came from, not minding what they were doing before, not minding, because when they preach at, you know, when the apostles preach and when Peter preached, and it was 3,000 or 5,000 that first gave their life to Christ, that first got born again. Was it 3,000 or 5,000? 3,000. Yes. You know, now, do you know what 3,000 people are? I think Faith Bazaar Hall is like about 1,005 or thereabouts. Like when Faith Bazaar is full, at least most of us know Faith Bazaar. So imagine times two. First meeting that he had, times two of Faith Bazaar size hall, gave, you know, got born again. Now, different people were there. People used to come from different places, you know, different towns. You know, they've learnt different ways. They've learnt a whole lot of things. And then scripture says that they got born again and they were added to the church to be what? To be saved. Now, you see that salvation. What happened to them? Being born again, that was not the salvation that Bible was talking about. Hallelujah. Because when you become born again, you are added to church for the sake of salvation. So, being born again in itself is not the full salvation. Are we together? Now, when that thing happens, now you see that the essence of church is that you take people from wherever they are coming from, and you take them to salvation. Now, not just salvation, the utmost salvation. So, that is why scripture says that in that Matthew 28, it says that, and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, many times, how many of us have done water baptism, or at least we know about water baptism? Abi, yeah, you know, when you want to do water baptism, you know, you dip into the water, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and then, you know what? In the name of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, now, that's fine. That's not a problem. But what this scripture is talking about is not water baptism. Hallelujah. Now, it is not, this scripture is not saying that when you want to baptize people in water, that you take them in the name of, that is fine. It's not a problem. We should get, even Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ got baptized. So, it's not like we are saying that, oh, don't get baptized. No, that, you know, maybe it's not needed. No, that's not what we are saying. But we are saying that that's not entirely what this scripture is referring to. Because, now, if you see, from the beginning of the scripture, it says that, go ye therefore and teach. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and do what? And teach. It says, and teach all nations. So you teach them, and then you, and what the teaching will do is that it will baptize them. You know that, you know, when you teach someone a particular thing so much, that person becomes, you know, baptizing means immersion. You get, and you cannot be immersed in something and it is not evident. Hallelujah. Do you know that? You know, just imagine as you were coming, you know, you fell into oil. Maybe oil or so. For one reason or the other, you just fell. I want to use something that, or maybe something that is maybe more realistic. Maybe a drainage system. Maybe you didn't know and you just stepped into it. Bro. And you know some kind of drainage systems are very, very bad. You know, they are terrible. Hallelujah. We know those kind of drainage systems that they are black. They do not have green leaves. I don't know how those green leaves used to survive in those areas. You know, that kind of drainage system. You know, you just see it on the road. Maybe you didn't know. You know, sometimes those things, they just level with the road. And maybe rain was falling or you didn't see it very well. And then you just take 1 foot, boom, and you just drop inside. You know, and you're just like, wow. You know, that one, that's baptism. You see that baptism? It's going to be evident. There's no, as you come out, everybody's seeing it that, wow, something has happened to this person. Now, that's the kind of teaching that is expected for all nations. All nations are to be taught in such a way that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, to the point that if you are being taught in the name of the Holy Ghost, when you come out, when you stand, it should be evident that indeed this person has been taught in the name of the Holy Ghost. When you are being taught in the name of the Son, it should be evident that indeed this person is being taught in the name of the, you know, in the name of Christ. And if you are being taught in the name of the Father, when you come out, when you appear, it should be evident that this person is being taught in the name of the Father. That is what it means to baptize. So there is a teaching in the Bible that is the name of the Holy Ghost. There is a teaching in the Bible. Because even scripture now says that when it says that baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. So the baptism has to do with teaching. Let's say teaching. It has to do with teaching. Baptism has to do with what? Teaching. Teaching men. So baptism is not just water baptism, it's not just Holy Ghost baptism, but has to do also with teaching, and that is even the major emphasis of this place, teaching men. So, and there is a progression. You know, we've been taught by our parents and our pastors that it's a progression. You know, it's a progression. Of course, scripture starts from the name of the Father to the name of the Son and to the, you know, name of the Holy Ghost, but you can't start from the name of the Father. Hallelujah. You know, that's where the Bible arranged, but it's Bible started from, you know, from the top to the bottom. But that's not how you grow. You don't grow as an adult to be a child. Abi now, you grow as a baby to an adult. So the first teaching to be received as a believer is the name of the Holy Ghost. Teachings of the name of the Holy Ghost. And those teachings are, you know, the scripture also refers to it as the milk of the word. Hallelujah. You know, the milk of the word is not just asking and receiving. Hallelujah. Milk of the word is not just what? It's not asking and receiving. I ask, I receive, I ask. You know, many of us, when we talk about milk of the word, we just be like, asking and receiving, asking. No, milk of the word is not asking and receiving. No, when you see men like Kenneth Hagin, those are men, that's a man that was, that's a full-grown milk of the world person. That man was not just, I mean, we've read Kenneth Hagin books now. Was he asking and receiving? Abby, now, we've, at least we've listened to some messages, we've read a lot of books. Was he asking and receiving? So, milk of the word is not asking and receiving. Milk of the word is journeying. Because even Hebrews 6 calls it what? Faith what? Towards God. So, that faith, if you have a faith, and that faith is not making you journey towards God, it's making you journey towards the world. That is not the milk of the word. If you cannot use the faith to journey to God, then it is not the milk of the word. The milk of the word ought to make you journey to God. Into God. Because it's not that, in milk of the word, you know, all you just do is, you know, you ask and you receive. Then when you now get to Christ, that's when you now start journeying. No, you don't start journeying by that time. You know, Christ is like running. And maybe walking fast. No, a baby doesn't just start walking fast. A baby starts by crawling. You know, or you can say Christ is walking. But a baby doesn't just start walking. You just say a baby, just stand up, boom, and just starts walking. No, baby will start by crawling most times. Crawl, 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 crawl. Then after a while, they will stand. They will use things to stand. That's how, yes, you cannot compare, you know, though, being able to walk cannot be compared to crawling. The energy, everything that it takes to walk, you cannot compare it to crawling, you know. But then you don't start walking, you have to crawl. You know, baby will start crawling here and there, crawling, go move by themselves. Then after a while, they use things to stand. Then maybe by holding them, you know, then after a while, they will take their first step. And you know, the other thing used to excite people. And then just capture it on video. Man, how do you used to do that? Is that the baby would have told you? I'm going to take my first step on so-so day. Then you not set the camera. Then you not set the camera down. And the baby will say, oh, that's the first step. And everybody will be like, oh, she took her first step. Hallelujah. Don't mind me. Amen. Praise God. Alright. So, what I'm just trying to say is that the essence of the church is to ensure that, you know, one, you grow from being a baby. So we are giving birth to in the church. And then the church is able to cater for your need as a baby up until you become, you know, a full-grown believer. Hallelujah. Amen. So just like, you know, deal with everything from, you know, being an unbeliever, you know, from while you are an unbeliever, you know, when you come born again, and then you are able to, that person is able to journey from that place to the throne. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now I'm going into our manner. Say, God's work on the face of the earth is not done yet. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us are not happy that God's work is not done. Or we think God's work is done. God's work is not done. You know, many times some believers tell you that, you know, the work of God, you know, Jesus Christ is no longer working. You know, that's why he has said it is finished. That's why Jesus Christ has set us. You know, some people believe that they are the ones that will now resume the work of Jesus. You know, they will be the ones to do all the work now. You know, it's us that will do the work. Jesus Christ is no longer working. You know, he said it on the cross. That's what it is. What finished. But that same Bible says that Jesus Christ said that my Father walk, either to I what? My Father walk, either to I do what? I walk. And then, you know, Scripture says that for God walketh in us both to do what? So that if God is still walking, that means Jesus Christ is still what? Jesus Christ is still walking. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So there is still work. So what is the work that Jesus Christ is doing? Hallelujah, we'll get there. Now, so yes, the church has experienced so many of God's moves and works on the earth in the last 2,000 years in the earth from time of the apostles of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ in the early church to the times of the restoration of truth from the time of John Hus, Martin Luther through the late 1800s and 1900s. We saw amazing moves of the Spirit of God in the 90s where the Holy Ghost moved so much upon the earth and across the world. Hallelujah. Now, you know that in church, you know, in Bible, in church history, there are different times that, you know, there are times that there is a time that was called the Dark Age. Or let me even start, you know, before Jesus Christ came, that was also a little bit of a dark age of some sort. You know, before the birth of our Lord Jesus. And I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, God has a way of just doing that, you know, when everything is like, there's no more hope. Do you understand? When humanity, there's no more hope, then God brings hope, you know, and restores his knowledge on earth. Hallelujah. You know, during that time, and, you know, Jesus, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of our Lord Jesus, and then all the things that happened, and the apostles started, you know, the church, and, you know, the church grew. You know, the apostles' doctrine is also milk of the word, you know, and it took Apostle Paul, you know, to start the teaching of Christ. And the other apostles also started teaching the Christ, and then Apostle John, you know, also started on everlasting life and all of that. Now, what I'm trying to say is that then after a while, you see all that knowledge, you know, imagine, and we must understand that it was a people that this old Bible was written to. You know, this Bible that is mysterious. I think it was, you know, Pastor said something towards the end of last year, and that thing, anytime I remember that thing, it's so apt. You know, the Bible, you see, the Bible is like a book that is like a textbook that is for everybody. You know, many times, you know, when you enter university, or let me use an example, there's a book that is called Engineering Maths. I don't know if you've ever seen that book. If you had engineering friends, you know engineering maths. I think that book is as big as this sort of Abby. It's very big. And when you see over zillions engineering students, when they carry this for overnight, you know, they sleep, they also go and sleep. Nothing. It's a lie. Don't mind them. Don't let them bobo you. You just carry that book. That, you know, because that book cannot enter your bag. Do you understand? If it enters your bag will cut. If you carry it a few times, that book is very, very big. I think it's as big as this engineering maths. You know, so when you see, now you see that engineering maths, I think still, probably you even want to write Koren, which is engineering certification, you will still need that book. Now imagine someone, a certified engineer, a registered engineer that has written Koren, looking at that book. Then imagine a year one student in Unilag, civil engineering or electrical engineering, carrying that book. You know what they will see will be different. Do you understand? What they will be able to see, you know, what they are seeing in that book will be very, very different. So also is the Bible. So you cannot compare. So if you if you open the Bible and what you are seeing is, you know, you have it and there is what you are seeing in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that is all there is to that Bible. Because that's the way that under level engineering students is just seeing that, okay, just seeing, you know, sometimes they might not even go to some chapters because they don't even understand it. So they will just leave it to you. You know, to tomorrow or to whenever, later in life when they get there. And they, but that's just telling you that. But what they are seeing necessarily doesn't sum up the whole of engineering. You know, that's the way you see body. That's this body, head, neck, you know, chest, stomach, leg, and all of that. You know, that's what you are seeing. But a medical doctor, that's not all they are seeing. Do you understand? You know, the one that amazed me the most is dentists. You might just be like, what do these people go to? Is this 6 years? How many years did they spend in school? That's what teeth. You know, but you are just seeing one teeth. You have a man. That's not what they want to and all that. That's not what they are seeing. They are seeing different parts of it. Now, if they tell you to draw a tooth, there's a way you just draw it. Bam, just. But if they tell a dentist to draw and label tooth, the details, everything will be there. But you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell us that the more you grow in knowledge, the more detail your eyes get to see. You know, I remember one time when I was in one of my postgraduate diploma, and, you know, we had one course, there were three courses in one: biochemistry, psychology, and anatomy. So I used to form about, you know, I know maths now. All this biology course, what is in them? Until it was close to the exam, and I had to prepare for the exam. When I started reading, I used to say biology. They are all biology. There's one of my classmates then. She studies psychology or something like that. I can't remember. But she used to tell me that, this is not just biology. But I'll be like, let me concentrate on the calculation. Now, this calculation, I will even do tutorials for calculation. What's calculation? Nothing. Until it was time to prepare for the exam. And I started reading. And I understood that it's not just biology. The thing that humbled me so much, there was one that was on the floor. I sat down on the floor. I sat down on the floor. And it was the sisters in pharmacy that were explaining. They were explaining it to me. I remember then, I was also staying with Babati. Babati still had to explain the cardiovascular system and all those things. And when I was learning, I was like, people should have told me. But we told you. We told you it's not just biology. But, me, I had the thing of biology. I think last time I did biology was maybe 100 level. There was one we used to do. I can't remember. Something 101 in uni like then. So it's just biology. And then you just see biology. Everything's just biology. It's not biology. But you now wonder that is that same biology that you tell you we're doing that they will divide into how many departments in school? There's cell biology, there's this one biology, there's another one genetics, and there are different things. So I'm saying that the higher you go, do you understand? The higher we go, the better, the greater details we see of things. You can't see if you don't grow in the knowledge of a thing, you can't see the details of it. I remember one time, just to put more examples to it. My dad and his elder brother were standing and looking at a building. My dad's elder brother is an engineer. And my dad was appreciating the building. The building is... His elder brother said, no, see this pillar. This. And he was pointing details to him that, no, this pillar is not supposed to be like this. And my dad was like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Like, do you get... That's to show you that because he had the knowledge, he can see details about it. Hallelujah. And so also is the Bible. If you don't grow in knowledge of the Bible, you cannot see the intricate details of the Bible. There are details in the Bible. It's not just Bible. It's not just Bible. Just how many pages? You cannot read. It's not novel. Bible is not novel. It's not storybook. You can know. It's good to know the story. Like I tell teenagers in church. I tell them, know the Bible. Just read. Don't look for revelation. Just read. No Bible. Now that is very good. But the Bible is not storybook. Do you understand? The Bible is not what? It's not storybook. I just feel that there's a need to emphasize that. It's not storybook. It's not. So when you see our pastors, when they teach, don't. Because what used to amaze me is that you don't argue with your teachers in school when they bring new concepts to you. You don't argue in school. In school, when a new concept is brought to you that is different, you accept it and you just be like, wow. Just you'll be so happy. But if it's in church, why do you think because you've spent 10 years in church, you spent 15 years in church, you know everything in the Bible? No. It's not like, because when we go to school, I remember, like we used to say in school, there's, permit me mathematics. Don't worry, let me just permit me. I can use mathematics a lot as an example. No, in mathematics, there's just, there are different things in mathematics. You just see, there's a stage in your mathematics that all you see is numbers. Just 2 plus 2 equals 4, then they give you big. But then you get to a stage in mathematics that all you will see is alphabets. Alphabets. E, then, not just even alphabets. You will now see some weird type of weird alphabets. You just see gamma, you see le, okoma lo, and then you'll be wondering what is happening here. And then they will tell I had a project that the equation, I think the equation, when you open higher education, my equation was as long as one end of the middle of higher education. You know that two leaves. My equation was as long as one end to the other end. And I think I was supposed to solve three of it simultaneously and do different levels of iteration. Now, so when they were teaching me that, when my lecturer was teaching me, I was assured. I remember that I was enjoying it because I used to enjoy mathematics. I was enjoying the teaching. I remember the man's name, Dr. Adeleye. I was enjoying the teaching. I was like, wow. I was enjoying it. I was like, I did not argue with him that why should this thing be like this? I did not tell him that, no. This is not the way we've been doing mathematics before. This is the way we've been doing mathematics before. Why are you bringing this new one? Because I already know that there is a standard, that there's something that he knows that I don't know. There is a knowledge that he has that I don't have. Are we together? So I must wait, I must accept what he's saying. So we should also have that mindset in church. We are not, you don't know it. You don't know Bible. We must accept that we don't know Bible. And that's why we are here. We are here to learn it. So we are not here to argue. If there is something that you don't understand, it's because you are the one that don't understand. Bible is not wrong. And neither are our pastors and our parents wrong. No, you just need to wait and grow. You know, how many of you, there's something that used to happen to me in school. And this thing used to pay me. I don't know if it has ever happened to us. When I leave a class to go to another class, I used to understand the previous class better. Abi, this thing used to pay me. I'll be like, why? Why? Why didn't this understanding come while I was in that class? I would have done better. And then you just be like, maybe just something that was very common to just resolve. This thing will just resolve in your mind. And you just be like, wow. Do you understand? So, in spiritual things, sometimes what you need to do is you just need to grow spiritually. Then that thing I was looking, why is John 16 different from John 18? Why is this thing? You know, sometimes you just be reading Bible and the other thing will just be confusing. But they said this one here, this one, why is this one like this? Why, this comma, they told us that this comma is supposed to be okay. Why? But comma is not in this one now. Why didn't I think? You just need to grow. Once you grow more, you will understand, it will resolve itself. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Let's go back to our teaching. Amen. All right, so we're talking about, I was talking about the dark age, and, it got to a time that, the Lord, God brought in moves in the world, different moves. In the dark age, that the thing about harvest is, many of us don't know that we're in the type of harvest currently. Or we are enjoying a harvest currently. Do you know the harvest you're enjoying? The harvest of the milk of the word. You know that there was a time that, when we get people born again, for people to get born again was a big issue. People don't believe that. The way Romans 10, you just believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. People don't believe it was that easy. People didn't believe it was that easy to be born again. At least for your spirit to be born again. People didn't believe it was that easy. There were times that, like Pastor CJ said, we're taking this series, that there were times that some pastors were even collecting money from people to go to heaven. Now, if you see that on social media now, even unbelievers, will criticize it. That time they were not criticizing it. They were accepting it. Why? Because we are enjoying a type of harvest right now. And what's the harvest? Because now there's something that God used some men of God to do. That thing went viral. That knowledge went viral. And it took very few men of God. The time that, we read it in Kenneth Hagin's book now, where people will stay at the altar and they are praying for Holy Ghost baptism. And they will, so how long have you been waiting for the Holy Ghost? It'll be like 10 years. You'll be like, wow. And that was a sign that you are a spiritual person. You are waiting for Holy Ghost baptism for 10 years. Now, this is not to laugh or anything, to mock them. No. But I'm trying to make us see that there is an harvest that we are currently enjoying. People who waited 10 years in church, they will go to altar and they will pray that they want the Holy Ghost. They want the Holy Ghost. Sir? Tarry all the night. And that is a sign that you are spiritual. But now, to get the Holy Ghost baptism, what does it take? You don't even need to lay hands. And once someone just becomes born again, you just hold your hand. Pastor David once gave us the story of when we were in school, when we did the Holy Ghost baptism. I was also part of that. No, but I think his own set was ahead. My own set was younger. When in school then, I don't know if it's work, I can't remember now if it's workforce or all those things, we used to do it together, both workforce and young believers class then. You do it and then, you fast. I think we used to start the fast on Saturday. It's on Saturday now. You not eat anything all through Saturday. Then on Sunday, you come to church. I think, is it that experience he gave was sensitive for all of us? When you come to church on Sunday morning, all of us are just there. And what were we preparing for? We were preparing for Holy Ghost baptism that will happen after. Then, so all of us will just be there in church. Just be looking at time, Jesus. It should be. Just there. Just be waiting. All that time, believe me, just food you are thinking about. When will you eat? So good. When will I eat? And then you tell, after the service, then there's that place, that there's a park of, behind staff school. That's medical park. All of us, they just spread us out. It's time for Holy Ghost baptism. And then they will not start, the schools and, some senior members. And of course, me too. I didn't pray in tongues that day. I didn't pray. Every single time I was just looking there. Okay. Everybody, you just see, sisters, God bless, sisters are awesome. Sisters, it's as if they are just waiting. They're just waiting, they're like balloon. Just waiting for one small needle to just pull, and then pull. They'll just just be there that way. Finally, your sins have caught up with you. and I think I just had faith that they've told us that you might not speak now, maybe you speak later. Then I think after a while, I realized that, I think that was second semester. Yeah, that was second semester. But I think I got born again. Officially. I got born again officially. End of first semester of my 100 level. So, then second semester, that was when I now joined the workforce and all of that. So, I think that was second semester. Then, I think, so during this school, during this semester, there are times during the service I want to speak in tongues and, that thing will just come. I just hold it, but no. Rubbish. That thing, my mind just tell me, rubbish. You want to say rubbish. You are saying rubbish. And there was, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember now. There was one part in the Bible that we used to quote wrongly when we were young that, so it talks about maybe when you speak in tongues wrongly, like you will not be forgiven or something like that. I can't remember that particular verse now. So that thing was still haunting me in school. So anytime else, I'll be like, rubbish, sin, you will not be forgiven. If you blaspheme, you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And so that thing was just haunting me. So I'll just keep quiet again. So that thing happened, I think, all through the semester. And I think after second semester, I think that's what we used to do. That time, it was not GBS, it was VBS. It was Vacation Bible Seminar, then RCF. So it was, I think it was during VBS. VBS was so powerful, I didn't even know when I started speaking in tongues. It was later. And I brought myself, you are already speaking in tongues, so I didn't even know how that thing happened. One meeting I just gave myself, and that was the end of it. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to make us see is that, now, you see us, now we are enjoying that harvest. The whole world is enjoying that harvest. But there was a time that people were not speaking in tongues, that it was weird. Even while we were growing up in our churches, we hardly see people speak in tongues. Talk less of someone who give prophecy in church. Ha! What will you say is wrong with you? Do you understand? Now, it's not to shame them or anything. No. I'm trying to make us see how that we are currently enjoying a type of harvest. And it took some men. It took labor of some men. Do you know that in those times, Papa Egin, they gave him there were times that they did not, people spoke against Papa Egin because of speaking in tongues. People have spoken against him, against men of God, because of healing. Some who believe that, okay, we'll be healed maybe when God wants to heal us, and all of that. And you see men, and God brought men a revival and miracles. Shocking miracles. Men like Smith Wigglesworth. And they had to Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead. Did he was used to me I was reading about him, and used to heal cancer like there's no tomorrow. Cancer. And they would call him, you know, he would say he would live while he was still a plumber. You know, Smith Guzzo used to be a plumber before he went into the full-time ministry. And while he was doing plumbing work, they would call him to come and heal someone. And with the dirty hands like that, he would just run there, go and heal. And he would go back to his own. And those were men. They were using that. You see those things that God was doing? God was using it to prepare harvest. Make people to believe in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, it is on that foundation that many of our fathers, not many, all of our fathers in Africa, that they are standing on. That is an harvest. And that is what we are also standing on. That is an harvest that we are enjoying. There was a time that those things were not common. Talk about healing. Believe God. What people don't, do you know? People did not understand what it takes to believe God. Holy Ghost. You enter meeting and, you know, everybody will just be laughing in the Holy Ghost and the whole atmosphere is... No, people didn't have, that. It was not normal. It was not a thing. You know, that thing, it was like when they told, it was, you know, during the time of Noah, when they told them that it would rain. It had never rained before. Hallelujah. You know, it had never, so they could not understand that water will pour from heaven down. Or just imagine they tell you that, a new phenomenon will happen and water will be going from earth up. Like we'll be seeing it. You know, the very rain falls down. We'll be seeing water will just be going from earth up. How will all of you feel? And they say that, okay, if you don't want, when that thing starts, everybody will need to bring empty all the money in their account and then, you know, come and lodge in a place and, you know, we'll be taking care of you. If you hear that, what will you do? You'll just be like, what are these people saying? Don't really blame the people in the time of Noah. Don't feel that, you know, God was calling them, they were not answering. No, calm down. It had never rained before. If it had rained before, they probably would have had understanding or maybe had, okay, it's possible. No, it had never rained before. So if they tell you that water will be coming from the ground and it will be going up, and then if you are not careful, you go up with this, and that's how people will just be dying. You just be like, but you see the way he's standing there, so tell people are looking at me. Like, what is this guy? That's the way they were looking at Noah. That's how unbelievable it sounded when Noah was telling them that it will rain. Hallelujah. So also in those days, those were how, you know, Holy Ghost baptisms, you know, now, you know, want to pray. Everybody's like, Haramanako Shatalanda, Erekete Berekelekete, Rufenegalasta, Randa. And everybody's speaking in the Holy Ghost. And there is charge of the atmosphere of the Spirit. I know the Spirit is taking over. Everywhere is bursting with atmosphere. Holy Ghost is around. Those were not things that were common. That is an harvest that we are enjoying. That took some men. It took their blood. It took their blood. It took their life. They killed men to bring some of these revivals. Satan fought with them. For them, so that these things will not be restored. You see, you know that every truth, for every truth in the Bible to be restored, it took men sacrificing their lives. It's not something, you know, so now everybody will just enjoy, you know, just praying, just hara. You know, you have that knowledge and it's just sweet, it's just easier. Just, you know, even on your bed, you're just hara manakashubana. You are walking in the bus, hara vanagala. And you're just enjoying. See, it took men to restore that truth. It might seem normal to you now, but there was a time it was not normal. And you see the way what the righteousness is not normal now. The harvest that God is calling us to, there's a time it will be the normal. We are not saying amen. Amen. You know, the way it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you are at work, you are in school, there's a limit to which you can relate with your colleague. Even that is a Christian. Everybody knows, you know, sometimes, I even feel that, you know, there was one time I was talking to a colleague and, you know, I was like, why not apply to this place now? You know, if they give you offer, you go there. It was like, I know that you cannot just decide like that. And I was like, why now? I was like, so there was a way he was saying it. He wanted to talk about praying before going. And remember, I'm like, that's like, there was a way he was saying it. Like, you know, like, it was not There was no freedom to say. I was like, Saul, say it. Say it. Like, yes, you should be led. You cannot just go, you cannot just say, okay, you've gotten offers. My pastor said, like, some offer is offer. Some offer, they are offer. No, you cannot just get offer and say, yeah, you're just going to a place to go and work. No. So, as I was saying, no, I was just asking him, okay. And there was this, say it. That's the way it ought to be. But you know, so I'm just saying that somewhere when you're relating with some people at work, you know, there's a way you just relate to them, and you can still relate to them on some kind of, okay, I don't feel God will have me go there. You know, maybe, no. And then some people will just be like, ah, it's okay. But you know, those people, there's still a level you cannot relate to them. Hallelujah. But a time is coming that we enter this world of righteousness. A great harvest of it is coming. That it will be the normal thing. In the church, it will be the normal thing. That is what people will be preaching. You know, the way you see people preaching, you know, people are preaching about this, you know, it will be the normal thing. As in, everybody will know about it. Let's say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so the Holy Ghost raised many arms that heralded the advent of the gospel, which we now understand to be the milk of the word. You know, Kitchen Kuman, Mary Woodward, Miss Wigglesworth, Alexander Dowie, Benny Hinn, Ora Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, T.L., and Daisy Osborne, William Braham, Ayo Babalola, Benson Idahosa, Kenneth Hagin, and many more. Now, you see these people, God used them a lot to demonstrate. Now, you know one thing we will say that, why is it that these things are not happening now? All those miracles that you were talking about, why is it not happening now again? Why is it not happening? You know, even when we were younger on TV, you know, we'll see pastors doing miracles on TV and all of that. And so why are those things not happening? You see the lame walking. Why is it not happening now again? Do you know why it cannot happen now? God is not in the business of showmanship. God needed those things for harvest. The tool you use to plant is not the tool you use for harvesting. Are we together? You know, imagine the soil, the earth is the ground. And when those things were happening, the ground was hard. So when you want to break ground, you use a different tool. You know, imagine you want to break a surface that is hard, you have to use a machine. Now, that's what those healings and those miracles, that's what they were doing. They were breaking the earth. They were doing what? They were breaking the earth. Now, after breaking the earth, when you planted and, you know, imagine you have a field of, you know, corn. That's not where you now take your tractor and be cutting everything now. No. That's not how you do it. That's not the tool you use. So, that's not what is needed for this season. So, and God is not in business, okay, I can do it. God, if you are the one, I'll do it now. It's true, I can do it. No, God is not in the business of either I can do it. God, there's something that God is doing. God has a vision. Are we together? So that's why you can say it might not be as much as before. It's because God is planning for another harvest. Are we together? God is doing what? Planning for another harvest. Let's go on. So he says that these hallowed and choice vessels of God carry the touch of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as they were allowed, called, anointed, and sent to preach. Without them, the cause of the gospel would have been destroyed from off the earth. And those were great days of great moves of the Spirit upon the earth in the church. But the truth is, God's work and moves on earth are not over. Hallelujah! It is good to know that all those works and moves resulted in harvest. These harvests brought about the actualization of God's purpose in different measures, fulfilling biblical prophecies. Hallelujah. So, all those things that all those men did, and it's not that, you know, many times, it's not even that those men, too, they wanted those things. No, they were not, I mean, in themselves, they were not, that was not their, they were not doing this for show. You understand? They were not, you know, you see, you know, many of those men, they were humble people, very humble. You know, very humble. you know, even Miss Wigglesworth, you know, when you read maybe his transcripts and all, the way when he talks about some things, you know that this man, there is what you hear him, you know, one of the transcripts I read, you know, you could see him talk about how that there is something more. There is something more. It was like even there are great, there, you know, great things are happening upon the earth now, but there is still something more. You know, I read one of the chapters and he was saying there is something more. You say that God will only give moves to people that are hungry and thirsting for more. That there is still more of God. There is more. The way he said that there is more of God and His righteousness. There is still more. They wanted more of God's righteousness. That's the kind of men. They were not men that were looking for how to heal or how to do miracle or how to walk on the air, how to walk on water, how to raise the dead, how to heal cancer, how to heal. No, they were not looking for it. What they wanted was God. And God decided to use them in that way. Hallelujah. So understanding the harvest, you know, Luke 10, so 17 to 20, I read. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirit are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. So he said that Luke 10:19 shows the scope of harvest from milk to meat and strong meat. Now, we must understand that if the dispensation of the word is calibrated, are we together? You know, it's calibrated into milk, meat, and strong meat. If we have seen the harvest of milk, then we should know that there will also be a harvest of meat and strong meat. Hallelujah. Are we together? Because God will not have harvest. So it's not like, you know, somewhere in our hearts, we are selfish. Do you know why? So we just feel that this is what the righteousness is, EGFM, Alani, NWC, we are the owner. You know, somewhere. So, you know, when you just, you know, somewhere you just feel yourself that there's just something you know that others don't know. There's something you know that others don't know. And you just, so that thing is just like, we are the owner of this message. You know, if this, you know, maybe you just, for some reason, maybe you visited a place and they are preaching, so you just be like, we are still the owner of this message. This message has not gotten to these people. We are the owner. No, we are not the owner of the message. Hallelujah. We are not the owner of the message. We are not. Hallelujah. Do you understand? It's a message for the body. It's a message for the church. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Yes. So we are saying that the scope of the harvest is from milk to meat and to strong meat. So that's why power over serpents and scorpions, that's the name of the Holy Ghost. Power of Christ, the name of the Son. Eternal power, the name of the Father. The harvest is very well defined in these scriptures. And the sequel, or gospel, or the word, to achieve or actualize the harvest are also well provided for. Now, you know, I was saying earlier that when planting was happening, or when the preparation for the harvest that of the milk, when we were seeing now, you know, there were a lot of miraculous works, a lot of it, and those things were needed, you know, because men were serving idols, you know, especially in places like Africa, men were serving idols, and idols, one of the things that idols used in captivating people are little manifestation. You know, that's why our parents, they would tell us that, oh, raye, you know what that means? It means you've not seen life, you've not seen, there was something that you've not seen power, you understand? If you've not seen power, you know, they'll tell you how they've seen things and how some of the stories that they've heard, you know, and then you have, you know, I'm trying to remember the name of the minister now that, I can't remember the name now, that they told him that this was evil forest. When he went to the town, it was evil, they said this, you know evil forest now. I think if you've not been to evil forest, or if you've not seen evil forest, you've seen it in movies. No, Nollywood movies. Anything, something is evil forest. You don't enter and come out alive. Maybe it's only priests of the town that used to go inside and go and do something and then come out. But normal people don't enter and come out alive. So they said that they wanted to give him land. And they said that, okay, the only land they will give him. He said his God has power. So the land they gave him was the evil forest in the town. Yes, Benson Dawsa. Thank you, sir. So the land they gave him was the evil forest in the town. And he said, evil forest. No problem. You know, and then, you know, he went there and they built the church. And the church started prospering. Now, you see those people that were calling this evil forest, they were not fighting for the land. They were fighting for the land, that this is the land of our forefathers. But you call this evil forest now. Are you saying that your forefathers were the owners of evil forest? No. Do you get? So, that's, and now, you see those kind of powers. Now, imagine, they were needed to, you know, to bring those people under. Because there was something that they believed in. They needed to see, you don't need the blind to see. You did not need the blind to see to get born again. Abi, how many of you that what convinced you to get born again was that you saw the blind see or you saw the lame walk before you got born again? No, that thing is not such. There is no much need of it now to get you born again. But there was a time that if those things don't happen, you cannot get results. They were needed for that time. They were needed for the people. They were needed for the kind of soil that the earth was that time. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So don't let some believers don't let them rattle you that and you power just always sitting down hearing word. There's no power. There's no power in your midst. You don't have power. What is power? What is power? It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel. So you wouldn't have power. You know, you see men, they'll pray for 13 hours. Praying for what? What are you praying 13 hours for? It's good to pray for 13 hours, but what are you praying for? Do you understand? So you wouldn't have power. No. So don't let people rattle you that you would have power. What are the manifestations that are happening in your midst? We are changing. That's the manifestation that is happening in our midst. We are changing. We are getting better. We are obeying righteousness. Do you understand? So that's the power that is needed now. So what I'm saying is that we need to go with knowledge, understanding what God is doing. To see what this whole harvesting is about. So it's not just how we are just happening. No. We need to understand what. So when someone tell you that you would have power in your assembly, no, it's not. What is about? Let's even forget what that thing is. Not is not really needed now. Hallelujah. So the milk is meant to raise harvesters from God, whom God would send into the field to harvest. Same with the meat, the gospel of Christ, and strong meat. Gospel of everlasting life. So every biblical harvest is a byproduct or produce of God's of the word or gospel. Anytime God begins to unveil or reveal any allocation of the word, he actually begins the process of initiating the harvest. So when God begins to reveal, you know, like when the harvest of the milk of the word started, it was to a few people. You know, God raised a few people and, you know, he started using them. And by the reason of those few people, you know, there's a great harvest that the world is still enjoying. So also it is in word of righteousness, in the meat and in the strong meat. Somewhere we thank God for our big daddy, Reverend Kayode Yogoke, that the Lord has used to start it. And you see that, you see this harvest is going to go to everywhere. Just like this milk, just like the harvest of the milk, you know, just like the harvest of, I'm sure that many of those men, when they were doing those things, they were not planning that, the things that they were restoring is going to have this kind of effect on people. No. They were just doing what the Lord would have them do, just like the way our parents are just doing what the Lord would have them do. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, the giving of the word of righteousness by God to his servant, Reverend Kayode Yogoke, and other servants of God who teach it, is God saying, it is time for another wave of harvest. Let's say amen. Let's say a bigger amen. Amen. Now this we will look into in greater detail in the course of our lessons, trusting that through this series we shall be better positioned to co-labor with God in the impending harvest. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we appreciate our teacher once more? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We have to understand the dealings of God, both in scripture and in time past. Hallelujah. I encourage every one of us, if you have not read it, go and get God's Generals, the 6th series. Hallelujah. How many of us have read God's Generals? God's Generals, there are 6 editions presently out. I want us to get it and then read it. Hallelujah. Get it, if it's possible, get Fox's book of the Matthias also. I think they can make some of those books available at the bookstand. Get it, read it. One of the things it does to you, hallelujah, one of the things it does to you is that it makes you understand where the word is coming from. I mean, God's dealing with men upon the face of the earth. Some of us met the church at a place and at a phase where you were just born into a religion. But we can't connect what God has been doing, how he has been doing it, what the word has survived, and what God is trying to reflect. There was a meeting we had back in school. The theme was Back to the Future. Of course, I loved it because it was mind-juggling, Back to the Future. But the primary concept is this. Sometimes if you don't understand history, you can't predict the future. Are you understand it? If you don't understand the dealings of God in seasons past, you can't understand the trajectory. In fact, predictive analysis, when you want to predict this thing, forecasting, what it does is that it goes into historical figures. Am I correct? Those into analytics. It goes into historical figures, then extrapolates from historical figures, then projects into the future the estimates of what is likely to happen in the future. Hallelujah. Am I correct? So also, you don't need to be a prophet to be able to predict certain things of God. You just need to go into how God does it. You just need to understand how God has been working, how God has been dealing. If you understand history, there are some errors that you would avoid. Because you have seen the way God dealt with men. You have seen the way God operated. And you have seen one consistent thing about the heart of God. Hallelujah. When you get to understand that, there is a consistent thing throughout ages, throughout all history, throughout different vessels, throughout what we call different moves of God, or throughout different administrations of God to restore different things to the body of Christ, you would see that God has been consistent all along. God has been consistent about his agenda. God has been consistent about his purpose. God has been consistent about what he intends to achieve upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. And that harvest is greatly summarized in certain things. God, who will that all men be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. He would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, God will go through things. Hallelujah. God will go through all means, raise vessels to restore truth into the body to the end that men will see the end of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So I said it's important that we understand history. It's important that we go through. God raised men like Robert Lyden to be able to document some of those, some of the important annals of history, God's generals. Then I said Fox's book of the Matthias. I think there's another one that a brief history of the. It's not because you want to be a pastor. All of those things are not for pastors. Therefore, every serious believer that is going somewhere with God, you want to understand where, how God is dealing. Now, I want to say something concerning what you said. When our teacher said that God is not doing some things now. It's not as if when you are sick, God will not heal you. Are you understand it? It's not as if somebody needs healing, if somebody needs a miracle, God is no longer doing it. That's not what the teacher said, or that's not what he's trying to insinuate. What he's saying is this, that the tool God uses to turn hearts varies per season. In today's world, people will see healing and then go back to what they are doing. He's not capable of turning the soul. In certain seasons before, people will do healing. You do healing in a particular church. The whole church will turn and follow Jesus because a notable sign has been done. In some churches, every Sunday, healing is happening. People are still stealing in the same church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, what he's saying is that even God knows that that thing is not capable of turning the weightiness of it to turn souls. Because at the end of the day, the objective of God is that all men will turn into righteousness. But the means by which God will execute it and accomplish it will vary. Now, what God is showing to us is that in the season of the milk, there are certain works that God permitted and God blessed for to turn hearts. Hallelujah. But the church has grown to such a place and such a point that the faces that God is bringing the church, it is through the instrumentality of a word that God is going to achieve that. Hallelujah. And then the same way, I remember reading the Fox's Book of Matthias, the history where when they were writing, the people that translated the scriptures and how they were persecuted and how they were labeled heretics and some of them burned at the stakes, and the great trials, afflictions, contradictions they went through before some of the things that we have, like the compendium of what we call the English Bible now. If you know how Satan persecuted them, Saul, for just truths of the word to be pushed out into the body, you know that God has been worrying a long time, looking for vessels he can use. Because until certain truths are pushed out, the whole company of men will not be saved or brought into the salvation of God. Now, the work that Jesus has done is eternal in the heaven, but it can be obscure from men if Satan succeeds in blinding or ensuring that men do not come into the truth. So, season after season, God looks for a vessel through whom he will push this thing and then push as the pioneer or spearhead of the restoration of that truth to the body. After reading Fox's Book of Matthias, it was in the same season I started reading God's Generals. And when Robert Laden said chronically, especially when Alexander Dowie was the first person who was going to bring back healing by faith to the body. That's in the late 1800s. When Alexander Dowie started ministering divine healing, they were attacked. He was attacked. They charged him for practicing medicine without license. Because he was running some people out of business. Some people, their business They've made healing or curing people their business, and it's an exclusive deal. You know, medicine is actually business. Some of you that run to medical doctors, sorry, I know there are medical doctors and mistress, but my other brother is also a medical doctor. He said, you must understand that medicine doctors are primarily first into business than healing you. Some of you, you want to sneeze, run to doctor. You want to shit, run to doctor. You want to fart, run to doctor. Anything. And whatever doctor says. Because you believe that you're healthy. No. Thank God for medical doctors. But know that they are how to make money also. So some of you go there, they'll just say, because they know. In fact, because they know how sensitive the matter is to you. So if you learn the business of medicine, they'll tell you that anything that brings somebody to you, you should not let him go without charging him. Yes. You should not let him go. Even if he's fine, just tell him you have to do this on your because for him to feel he's not well, that means he's ready to pay money for something that, and that's why he went to school. So why should you tell him that he's just well and you don't make money out of it? If he believes he's not well, then there's something wrong with him. So to satisfy him well, you should be able to make money out of that. Amen. I'm not. Doctors, you are doing fine. Amen. I'm your friend. Nurses. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. That man. Say man. Man. Man knows. Seeing has taught men how to make profit from everything. When I say profit, to make merchandise of everything. If it is possible to sell air that you are breathing, man will start selling it. Man will start selling it so that you can pay to survive. And it's sin that is teaching that. So I said, when Alexander Dowie started teaching that, God is not saying it, God is not doing it so that he will show that you don't need medical doctors again. No, God was doing it for the purpose of turning hearts to him so that men will seek after God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, there was a lot of backlash and all of that. And that grew a little after Alexander Dowie. We have Mary Woodward and all of the Catherine Kuhlman and all of them. He knows that into Azusa. When William Simon, in the 1914, yes. William Simon started, got the... started reading the Bible, then they started waiting on the Holy Ghost. And then Azusa Street Revival broke out. And they saw literal fire of the Holy Ghost burning the building. It was not consumed. I mean, the firefighters actually literally came to that venue wanting to put out the fire. But then, from that moment on, the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the Holy Ghost baptism was brought back to the church. Are you understanding? Now, that also was met with so much resistance. Now, the funny thing is that it is people in the church that oppose it. People that probably drank into the former revival, the holiness movement. I don't want to mention churches, names of churches. But you see, I remember in my church in Ilorin, the church I was attending in Ilorin, they came for, we had a week of spiritual refreshing. Week of what? Spiritual refreshing. And they brought a minister. And this minister, this was what he was saying. In the week of spiritual refreshing, this was what he was saying. That actually, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be a serious Christian. Now, he said, John Wesley wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost because he was he's a Methodist. That if John Wesley did everything he did without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that it is not that believers just overstretch everything. and that speaking in tongues is not an evidence that you have the Holy Ghost, that every one of us have the Holy Ghost inside of us. Now, I was a young believer, but I just knew that this thing wasn't sitting well. I had read God's generals. I knew, even though as at that point I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost, I knew that this thing no sits very well. There was something wrong with what I saw, that what he had been so indoctrinated in the doctrine of their denomination that he was defending the stance of their denomination against the truth of the gospel. Now, those movements predated Azusa Street Revival. Hallelujah. But every sincere, genuine Christian, that's why they call some people Pentecostals. In fact, the first used to call them Pentirascals, because they felt that speaking of speaking in tongues was disorderly, was rascally. Amen. But one of the things I learned from Egan is this: I'd rather there be wildfire than there be no fire at all. I'd rather wildfire than there be no fire. So what I'm trying to say is that every effort of God at restoring a truth to the body of Christ has been met with opposition, blackmail. They call them heretics. So when some things are happening around you, you just know that it's the same old tactics of Satan. But one of the things that has also been consistent, everyone that has been met like that has always also spread. Has always spread in the body. In spite of all the more vicious the opposition is, the more it spreads. The more. So you see that God, when God is a back 18, just like Gamaliel was telling the Pharisees when they were flogging, he said, let's be cautious about this thing. He said, you know, there are other people that have arisen before and they dissolved, they dismissed. He said, let's be careful so that we won't be found fighting against God. He said, if it's not God, with time they will decide. You give it time. Time is a true test of things. Time. Give it time. If it's not God, this Bible, this word, it has faced opposition. You saw, God is a back it. Are you understanding? And God wants to bring all men into its truth. Now it starts with men. Men who are weak, men who do not appear to have anything, men who are unassuming, men who can be easily despised. But God vests those authority and starts working. But God does that new thing again and again. And we are seeing it again in our day. We see the commission of the word of righteousness. And like our daddy, the burden upon our daddy's heart, that we are actually at the verge of a season where God will drive this thing. The essence of this topic, the essence of this teaching, is for us to be prepared for the great harvest that God is bringing the word of righteousness into. Because God is set to move this same word, in spite of all the, yes, it, like I said, it's characteristic. Every new thing will be fought fiercely. Opposition, misunderstanding, accusation. You won't believe how much opposition people like Egan, we talked about Egan, but people like Simon faced when people were baptized in the Holy Ghost and then people were slain. Some people accused them that they were actually bewitching people. Now you are speaking in the Holy Ghost everywhere. Some people actually accused them nationally that they were bewitching people. Christians. Hallelujah. Now, every one of us, we are enjoying the Holy Ghost. And we now say, without Holy Ghost, we can't grow. The same way people will say, how did church survive without word of righteousness? How were men doing it? How were men doing it? In fact, Do you know that what we call word of faith now didn't start until Agin? Even though there was restoration of faith since Martin Luther, just shall live by faith. But the teaching of the doctrine of how to use faith didn't come until 1960s, between 1940s and 1960s, when God gave the word of faith to Kenneth Hagin. So between the 1600s, where justification by faith was restored to Martin Luther, and all the holiness movements, the restoration of the holiness movement, sanctification, or all the restoration of healing movement, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the lines of faith was not clearly seen. The lines of faith was not clearly seen. So it was mercy that brought our father of blessed memory, Kenneth Hagin, to lay that thing properly for the church, not for himself, not to build a ministry, but for to bring the church into that order. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, are there people that preach faith? Yes. There were a lot of people that, Wigglesworth preached faith. They use faith. But to lay the lines of word of faith and teach it, because you can preach it, except it is taught, it does not stay. Are you understanding? So we don't, some of our fathers have used this word of righteousness to live. Are you understanding? Some of our fathers have what? Used, they are using word of righteousness to live. But the doctrine to lay it for the church, God has given a man for the purpose of establishment, so that the generality of the church, the body of God, can be baptized into it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Like some of our fathers will tell you that there are things that they know and they live by that they can't teach. They can't teach. I've heard it from Oyedepo, I've heard it from Egin, I've heard it from many men of God, that there are things that they know, but they cannot teach. They are not permitted of the Holy Ghost. So they teach their flock something else. The administration that God permits them. And it is wisdom to understand this. If you don't understand this, you will be distracted. Reason why our daddy is instructed that we learn this. If we don't understand the administration that is given, you will be distracted by all the... Either what other people are doing, or all the ulabalu, all the accusation that Satan is raising, all the dust. And then we will leave the matter of the great king. We will leave the business that is in the heart of God for us as a people. Hallelujah. Do we understand what I'm saying? There is an harvest of God looming over us. There is an harvest of God looming over us. Sincerely. If you're a person of the spirit, you will discern it. In days, weeks, months, years coming, people will be running into word of righteousness, because it's not the word of a man. God, like Pastor Tayo used to say, God gave some people right of first refusal to be principal worker. Now, many of us that have grace that God has brought us, God recruited us as laborers so that we'll be able to bring others in. Many of us. That's why we must pay attention to the doctrine. We must pay attention to all that God is doing, because we are the agents, as it were, that God will use to bring others in. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we blessed today? So, like I said, I want us to read God's Generals, possibly the six editions. It will help us to understand some of the things that God is doing, and then to also be cautious. Let me say that also. To also be cautious. Because every harvest that God has raised, sometimes men think of themselves as special. We are not special, no. We are not special. It's an administration of God that God just brought upon us. And it is mercy. One of the greatest and quickest downfall of men is to feel that They are special in the hand of God. And when men begin to come into that estate, in fact, some of the things, like Alexander Dowie that I mentioned, one of the undoing that Alexander Dowie had was the fact that even though God pioneered the healing ministry, healing, restoration of healing in the body of Christ through him, was that when other healing ministers began, he became jealous. He became jealous. When Maria Woodward Eckhart, for example, because he felt he was special, and then he began to delve into some extra biblical things, like things that were not doctrinally accurate. Hallelujah. And so, reading some of these things helps us, gives us guidelines, lines of safety, so that we will not fall into errors like some other people are falling into. Are you understanding? Sometimes, it is not even just about the vessel. It's about those that are around them. Those around them. Those around them. How to conduct ourselves. How to relate with the ministry. It gives you a lot of wisdom. Hallelujah. Then it also shows you responsibility. What responsibility was clothed upon people who were surrounding pioneering moves like this. So that when heaven is laying responsibility on you, you know that it's not you that you are not the first. You are not what? You are not the first. If you see some of the labors of people that were surrounding men of God who God used to pioneer work, you will know that we have not started at all. We have not started in commitment. We have not started in labor. We have not started in believing. We have not started. Really. Really. If we are to measure ourselves by the labors of our heroes past. Don't mind me. That's the national anthem. Amen. Or the former national anthem. I don't know why they changed the national anthem. I don't know. Sorry. I'm supposed to be a patriotic Nigerian, but sincerely, I don't know. Maybe it's just what I was born into. It's difficult to let go. But I've still not learned that national the is it old or new now? What will I call it? The old that has become the new. Okay, current. The teachers are saying it's the current one. Amen. I don't know what it has done to us anyway. The Office of National Orientation would take charge of that. It's not mine to say. But I love the other one anyway. I love it. And in my heart, I still sing it. Even though I don't sing it for Nigeria. But in my heart, I still what? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I just pray that another president will not come and go then, then do another one again. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we blessed this morning? But what I'm trying to say is this. I want us to understand that God is on a mission. Whether we like it or not, either we join with God, is that he that is for us. He that is with us is not against us. He that is not, Jesus put it when John was saying that they saw one healing in his name and they forbid them. He said that he that is not against us. Can you give me that? I want to quote it accurately, please. Can you give me that the scriptures quickly? He said when we saw one who was healing or casting out devils in your name, then we forbade him. Then Jesus said to them, anyone that is Luke chapter 9 verse what? Verse 50. Luke 9:50. Said Jesus said unto me, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. He said he that is not against us is for us. I was trying to push a thought that there's a way we, yes, if you Sorry. My thought is running. I was trying to say something before. What was I trying to say? Sorry. That God is doing something, and it's either you join up with it or you ignorantly fight it. You know, like Jesus said to the disciples, the day is coming that men will arrest you and kill you and think that they are doing God a favor. Now, when Jesus is saying, the question I ask is that the people that will kill people and think that they are doing God, what is happening to them? They are caught up in a perception. They are caught up in a reality that is distant from God. Very, very distant from the thought of God. Yet they are persuaded in their hearts. They feel that they are doing God a favor. You know, we can be like that as Christians. We can be like that. Where we will stand and then oppose something. We can even be defending the ground of a doctrine. And we feel that we are fighting for righteousness. But what we are doing, we are fighting against God. Hallelujah. So, the learning of these things helps you to understand what God is doing. And then cast your lot with it. So that you are not found ignorantly. Because he said, he that is not against us is for us. But he that is not gathering with us is definitely against us. He's scattering abroad. Amen. The Lord will help us. The Lord will prepare us in our body, in our soul, in our minds for this harvest in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we won't lose our lot in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think it's Luke chapter 12 that we read at the beginning of the year, both last year and this year, where God's servant was talking to us about preparation for that harvest. I pray that we will prosper, it will prosper with us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we bow our heads as we just talk to Jesus? That we are just starting the series of the Sunday school. Can you talk to Jesus that the very burden that God put on God's servants, the burden that God put on God's servants at, that it will rest upon each and every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.